G'day, welcome to our Christmas 2016 series, Jesus Now, looking at Christmas through a different lens. Instead of using the normal lens of expectancy, we are looking through the lens of the consequences of Jesus' birth. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, we read this. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Throughout the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' authority is a major theme. Where Matthew records Jesus doing miracles, this is to highlight Jesus' authority in action and not just merely in words. Matthew records Jesus' authority to forgive sins, and Jesus imparted this authority to his disciples for a short time when they went on a mission. In these final words of Jesus before ascending back to the right-hand side of God the Father, Jesus Christ gave specific instructions to his followers, his disciples. He wanted them to know that he has authority over all things, all people, all circumstances and happenings, including authority over all spiritual beings, whether angels or demons. Jesus has authority over all nations, governments and rulers. Jesus has authority over all earthly and spiritual authorities. Jesus has the authority. Jesus is in control. Those instructions were not just for the remaining apostles of Jesus' day, but also for all Christian disciples and followers to come. Therefore, as Christian disciples, we can obey him without fear of retribution from those who would seek to harm us. We can obey him regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. It should be a great comfort to know that Jesus is in control of everything. As we Christians depend on Jesus' authority, we gain wisdom, guidance, and power. But how can we do this? What, or rather who, helps us to engage and put this mission into practice? We now read Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" Jesus replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Jesus had told them several times that he was going away and that it was better for them if he did, because the Holy Spirit would be sent to be with them, to live in them and empower them for the work they had to do. And even after Jesus had vanished into the clouds, the disciples still gathered around looking into the sky for him to return. That's why those two angels came and queried them. After the angel's visit, the disciples returned to Jerusalem and waited. And they didn't have to wait very long. Just 10 days. Until what Jesus said came about. Let's go there now. Let's go there now as we look briefly at another consequence of Jesus' ascension. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Jesus has now ascended back to the right hand of God the Father. We looked at that last time. The 12 apostles are now back in Jerusalem and they're waiting. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come and baptize, fill, empower, indwell, and transform. Jesus had told his disciples several times that he was going back to the Father, that he would not leave them alone and powerless because the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would be sent to them. The Holy Spirit would live within, empower, and motivate these disciples. The Holy Spirit would also remind these disciples of all Jesus had taught them. Throughout the book of Acts and in the other New Testament writings, we discover more about the Holy Spirit. We see that his prime role is to see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, praised and glorified by testifying for Jesus Christ and witnessing for him. And the Holy Spirit is involved with ministering to members of the church. The Holy Spirit declares God's word, interpreting and illuminating it. He convicts of sin, transforms, indwells, fills, baptizes, and seals the believer. And with all this, the Holy Spirit also equips Christian disciples for service of God and of others. God is at work in his body, the church, to will and to act according to his purpose, to be God's witnesses. How is God using you for his service, and how available are you to his calling upon you? That's one of the consequences of the ascension. It's also one of the consequences of Jesus' birth. And what's the greatest evidence of a Christian having the Holy Spirit? The greatest evidence of the Holy Spirit living inside any person is the transformation of the individual into the image of Jesus. And we can see that in the life of Peter. Beforehand, Peter was someone who didn't like to talk very much. He acted on impulse and under his own impetus, but not now. Peter was now self-controlled and controlled by the Spirit. And it wasn't just Peter who was empowered. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord, believed in Jesus, and were added to their number. And as a result, people brought those who were ill into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing those who were ill and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. As Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16 shows us, all the disciples, not just the 12 apostles, were able to do all manner of things for the glory of Jesus Christ, because they were baptized and controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowering and delivering the disciples' passion for making Jesus Christ known. The early church was dynamic and seemed to be exercising the authority of Jesus Christ. This was done by preaching the good news about Jesus being the long-awaited-for Messiah. The disciples exercised Jesus' authority by submitting themselves to and relying upon the Holy Spirit who was living within them, just as he was promised by Jesus. And the Holy Spirit empowers all believers for service and glory of Jesus, and not just those early disciples. That's it for this week. We continue looking back next week, looking back at consequences of Jesus' birth. How did Jesus gain the authority? What enemies did he defeat? And how did he defeat them? See you later.